13-7, and look, it's inevitable that we continue to get festive and talk around festive-related issues. This one's a bit of a kind of, I guess, sideways look at things festive. It's something that all of us potentially think about at this time of year, but probably not in terms of the workplace. Talking about obesity. I mean, it's like I say, it's, you know, our health, and, you know, especially when it comes around to rolling to New Year's resolutions and stuff, we do think about our intake and our exercise levels and all of that, but something we don't necessarily think, and probably potentially a great motivator for us, you know, to contemplate our general fitness is the impact that it might have on our job. When does obesity become a workplace health and safety issue? It's an interesting question that maybe you hadn't thought about. Let's explore it with Sunday Times columnist and co-owner of Help Me HR, Jane Edge. Morning to you.
Good morning. Happy Christmas.
And to you. Very, very festive. Well, very topical at this time of year.
Isn't it? And as you say, particularly for the New Year's resolutions.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, at both ends of the celebrations, at Christmas and New Year's, it works in. But I guess it's, as I say, it's not something that we necessarily think of in terms of, especially if we don't do something, you know, that's particularly labour intensive. It's not necessarily something that's we think about related to work, do we?
No, that's right. And look, for many jobs, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't impact on someone's ability to do the job or you know, be productive. But in many cases, it does. For some jobs, there's certainly weight safety ratings, for example, machinery, forklift trucks and the like, the ability to run, perhaps, the ability to climb through spaces. But I guess what we don't think of often, even those jobs that are perhaps more sedentary in nature, the office jobs, even things in offices have a weight safety rating often, like the typical chairs that offices may purchase or even toilets. So it can have an impact and sometimes not in the areas we'd expect.
So, obviously, this would be something that we have to approach with a fair degree of sensitivity when it comes to talking about these things or even contemplating these things, isn't it?
Absolutely. And for many people, it's not a major issue. I think the stats are something like 20 million adults in Australia, 6 million are obese, and 1 million are the severely obese, which is classed as something like 40 kilos overweight, which is like your double average baggage allowance, I guess, if you look at it that way. And it would be those people that we'd be looking at more. And I have to say, for Tammy and I working in HR for, you know, more than 25 years each, it's not something we've come across very often, if at all. It's not a major issue for most jobs.
Okay, so what are the sort of jobs, I mean, obviously, just to sort of help us through, I guess, are there particular places and not so much places, are there particular jobs that you know, could be worth contemplating, you know, with obesity as being an issue?
Yes, so it would definitely be. It's a bit like having to have excellent sight requirements. So if you think of things like airline pilots and so on, and certain jobs need excellent sight requirements, it's a bit like that. So for some jobs, they do have weight safety ratings because of the machinery they use or the environment that they need to work in. And what's interesting, it's not always the weight issue, but generally as human beings, we've got bigger. So we find this even as for customers. So if you think of patients having to access things like MRI machines, it can be an issue these days where they have to go to a specialist MRI unit because they just don't fit into the machine. So there are jobs where they're typically using a certain type of machinery that's got a weight safety rating or it's a size issue. And if you think of your police, you generally don't see police who have the need to run from time to time or climb over things. You're not going to see those. The ones on the foot, you know, the ones out on the street, not the sedentary roles in the office, they need to be able to run quickly. Security guards, things like that. The fire crew need to be able to crawl down and get through small spaces. So there are some jobs where it's absolutely a requirement. And where Fair Work have looked at this and said that, you know, disability, it's not classed as a disability, first of all, but it has to overrule any...
I hear what you're saying. I mean, what it really does is it kind of creates, you know, a situation where you kind of either, and, you know, not that it's necessarily helping with the definition, but you're either fit for the job or you're not. Like, you know, capable of, you know, are you capable of actually performing the activities?
That's right. And that's, sorry, thank you for that. That's back to my words. Thank you so much, Darren. It's very early.
I understand. You know what? That's what I do. Whether I'm sitting here next to somebody talking gardening or whatever it is, I tend to work as the translator. That's kind of what my role is.
Thank you. Yeah, provide those kind of verbal subtitles. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're absolutely right. So, an employer is entitled to require employees to be generally fit and well and suitable for the job that they're employed to do.
Yeah. You talk about, it's not necessarily something that is considered a disability. Is that something that we're surely are we going to go down the path of looking at it like that? Is it considered like that elsewhere? I mean, that would be pretty rough, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. Not that I know of. It's not considered an impairment under the Equal Opportunities Register. At the moment, there haven't been too many cases, there's really been no recent cases.
Okay.
But no, at the moment, it's not been. Of course, it doesn't mean that won't change in the future because, the legislation changes all the time and people challenge the legislation all the time.
Is this likely just to be, something for us to think about but not necessarily something to dwell on?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not something that comes up. And it would really is for those cases that are the more clinically morbidly obese, the very large fit. And it doesn't have to matter. It depends on the job that somebody does. And it's very rare where the combination of those two is going to cause an issue.
I'm just wondering, is it a form of scaremongering where this kind of talk has come from? Because, I don't want to trivialise it by any stretch, but is it getting, it's either a storm in a teacup or it's almost sort of verging in, it's verging into some tasteless kind of territory almost, isn't it?
It could be. I think what it does send out, though, is a really good message that, like in many of the things that our employers are having to do, it's about adopting good, healthy work practices. So having healthy food available for employees at work, for example, and those jobs that are more difficult, where it's more difficult for that to happen. Think of truck drivers who, are out on the road a long time and may not have easy access to healthy food. What can employers do about that? And it may not be them actually taking control of that and providing food, but actually giving the right messages and encouraging it, giving the right education, if you like, and encouragement to employees. And I think we're having to do that in many aspects as employers. We're having to create healthy workplaces, and this is one aspect of that. It is a problem for Australia, as we know, in many Western countries it is. Obesity is going to be a huge problem for us going forward in terms of Medicare and so on.
I know there are plenty of people that will be potentially sitting there listening going, Are we sort of verging into nanny state where we have to think about these things? But I guess that's the world we're in nowadays, is we have to think about these things, don't we?
We do, in the same way that we do general health and safety, about making sure that there are no trip hazards and that people, have a safe egress to work, having reasonable space around them in an office environment. But it's just another thing where we need to be mindful of that. And you see it now in workplaces that there are much more healthy options. And when I started work 20-odd years ago, that it was quite okay for there to be not, unhealthy options. And those are often the cheaper options too. For people, and now you see much more of a range of things, range of salads and things like that available for employees.
Jane, even looking at the snack machine here, it's amazing how things have changed. The options now are considerable. And not that they're necessarily, paragons of what's great, but, you do have at least some options of crackers and cheese and, there's healthier looking kind of bars.
Sausage roll.
And there's breakfast cereals in there. Not that you'd ever get sausage rolls in a vending machine, but it's not just chocolates and chips. Is what I mean,
Yeah, so, no, much better.
We're sort of seeing this in lots of places. So I suppose, and it's funny, I saw some articles leading up to Christmas talking about, is it time that we got rid of the Christmas party? When you look at the kind of the theories behind it and the reasons behind it, I guess that's the sort of the brave new world that we're in now, where we have to kind of wonder, well, just because we've done it all of this way for all of this time, can we manage to keep doing this given the consequences?
Yeah, and there was another story last week which, going off tangent slightly, but it's the same principle where, you can't give the traditional present to your teachers because that's classed as gifts under the policies, for some...
Surely they're not talking about an apple. They're not talking about an apple, are they?
Well, they were talking about, often you give a little box of chocolates or something like that, and no one would ever bother about that. But, yeah, that was one of the... one of the government offices just last week or earlier this week said, no, you know, you're not allowed to do that, give a homemade gift from your child. And it's like, oh, really? You know, yeah. Is the teacher really going to be influenced by, you know, a small box of chocolates? So, look, it is one of these many things, Darren. And it's very frustrating at times. You look at it and you go, really, do we have to do this? But I think some things you do, some things you need to just take with a pinch of salt.
I think this is certainly something that we need to at least contemplate. It needs to be up on the radar so that, you know, we don't find ourselves in a situation where, you know, we're talking discrimination or we're, you know, we're unfairly disadvantaging people. It's certainly, and I don't mean to do terrible puns here, but it's certainly food for thought, Jane.
It certainly is, and another pun, it's a growing issue. And I think going back to what, you know, Tammy and I always work with employers, it's around being reasonable too. So if you do have an issue, it's not something where you're ever going to dismiss someone straight away. In the cases where there have been claims that have gone to Fair Work, the employers have given an employee a reasonable amount of time to lose weight if that is an issue and it's preventing them doing their job. So, you know, that's what's the key here, that if there is an issue, that you'd be reasonable about it and you follow the same procedures that you would in any case of, say, a poor performance, that you give people plenty of time and notice and tell them what the issue is and give them an opportunity to address that.
Love to know what you think about this. 9221882. Join the conversation anytime. And Jane Edge, Sunday Times columnist and co-owner of Help Me HR, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Darren, and have a lovely Christmas.
And to you and yours, news not far.